This special bonus episode of She Explores is brought to you by UST. If you're not familiar with UST, they're making a name in the camping world by creating gear that helps everyone get outside and enjoy the outdoors, which is super important to us here on She Explores. In the past several years, UST has been able to focus their intentions towards the things that matter to them most. Things like inclusion and diversity, sustainability, accessibility, quality gear, and beautifully creative storytelling. We believe in all of that too. So when they wanted to support a catch-up series with past guests of She Explores you haven't heard from in a while, it felt like a win-win. Plus, their camping gear is colorful, fun, and inviting. So pull up a camping pad and stay a while. Learn more at ustgear.com and follow along on Instagram at ustgear. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to a bonus episode of She Explores. This is the fourth of four catch-up interviews we're doing with past guests of the show. They take place on Instagram Live, but we also wanted to give you the opportunity to listen to them here, too. Today's minisode features Myrna Valerio, also known as the Myrnavator, an ultra-runner, adventurer, author, former teacher, and more. Her blog, Fat Girl Running, took off shortly after she took on the sport back in 2008, and she's been showcasing what's possible ever since. She's been a National Geographic adventurer. She's an ambassador for some pretty big brands, and she's a speaker and a writer. And Myrna puts a ridiculous amount of heart into it all. Myrna and I last chatted for She Explores in June of 2018. As you'll hear, she remembers the conversation better than I do. We're both in the Northeast, so we talk about her found home of Vermont, Stowe Trails, and the hike that we're planning on taking together in May. We also cover how she picked up cycling during the pandemic, her new podcast, the significance of her ambassadorship with Lululemon, and the biggest lesson that she learned from 2020 that she's carrying with her now. I hope you enjoy catching up with Myrna as much as I did. Well, Myrna, it's great to have you on. For anyone who's just joining us, I'm Gail. I'm the host of the She Explores podcast. And Myrna and I had a conversation for the podcast back in, I want to say it was like May of 2018. So
it was late June of 2018 because I was in Jackson, Wyoming.
Oh, wow. You were in Jackson. Yeah. Yeah. And I think I was like sitting on the floor. It was not a professional setup for me at that point. Now I'm up in my closet, much more podcast professional.
I was on a bed in a hotel room with earphones that probably didn't work very well. So it's all good.
It is all good. So Myrna, I was thinking about how to introduce you, and you do so many things. How are you introducing yourself these days?
Well, it really depends on who I'm talking to. if I were to list all the things that I do and that I am, it would be, I am an ultramarathoner. I'm an adventurer, an author, a mom. And actually right like 30 seconds before I got on, my son calls, of course. I'm like, I can't talk to you. Sorry. An anti-racism educator, although I'm pulling back from that part of my work this year, and you know, a host of other things. So like really depending on who I'm talking to and what situation I'm in and how I think they'll react, I'll think about some things, I will say all of it, you know. So it really depends.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, before we jump in, I just wanted to quickly thank our sponsor, UST Gear. UST, if anyone who's tuning in isn't familiar, makes beautiful camping gear, and their mission is really to ensure that everyone is able to get outside. They make their gear as accessible as possible, and they're focused on things like sustainability, accessibility, quality gear, and beautifully creative storytelling, which is what She Explores is all about too. So thank you, UST, for sponsoring this catch-up series.
Yeah, UST. Can we talk about the Monarch sleeping bag for a minute and how incredible it is? I did a shoot for UST a couple of months ago, and
Mm.
it was actually right after my surgery.
Oh,
So
wow.
I'd have my friends help me into the tent and but the and then into the sleeping bag because like I couldn't move my leg. And it was really cute. But I mean the pictures turned out really phenomenal, but I was like obsessed with the Monarch because it's a regular sleeping bag, but you can like fold the flaps under for more cushioning, or you can like make yourself warmer, and so it's really cool, and I can't wait to go camping again.
That sounds like a hug that you just get to kind of wrap yourself in
Oh yeah, I
a
mean it totally was.
Well, in
Super
the time since
trusting
we
hug.
chatted last, you moved to Vermont. You were living, I think, in New Jersey before that. I mean, you travel all the time, so I definitely would think that Vermont's more of a home base than anything. But why Vermont? Like, what drew you to
Well,
that state?
I actually, so I was living in Georgia. I lived in Georgia for 6 years. And when I talked to you last, I was transitioning from Georgia to wherever I was going to go next, which I thought was New Jersey, because I really wanted to go back there because I'd lived there before. And so I was like hanging out in Brooklyn for a little while. And then it was very anxiety inducing just being in the city again, even though I'm from there. Having to train but not having trails nearby and stuff and having to drive everywhere. So and I love my family, but I was like, I gotta get out of here. And it was a trip that I took up here to visit my friend who lives in a town called Barre. And we snowshoed, we did a bunch of hiking, we took a snowboard lesson, not my sport.
Snowboarding's hard.
It really is. And as you're learning, it's super hard on your wrists. And so I was like, I don't want to do this. And I really loved it up here. And I love that it was a real sort of sociocultural change from where I had lived before. Even though I loved it and I loved my job, I loved the students that I taught and my colleagues. It was time to move. And so that week in Vermont sealed the deal. And it was like December, and there was already like 4 feet of snow on the ground. And I was like, I want to live here. And so I got an apartment that
Did you get
week.
snowshoes to run in then too?
And then someone promptly sent me a pair of Dion snowshoes. And so, running snowshoes. And so I got that. And I have 4 pairs now of from various brands. But yeah, and it's been great. I love it up here, and I am not planning on moving again.
Wow, that's a big statement. Do you ever wish that there were an airport closer by? Because I know that you can't really fly directly from Vermont.
You know what? I will take it over driving 2, 2.5, sometimes 3 hours to the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport over anything. Like if I got a transfer in Chicago or New York or Detroit, I'm going to do it. It's fine. But because the quality of life here is great, and also like it's only 35 minutes to the airport, so it's all right.
Oh,
I'll take
that's
it.
nice. I will say, growing up in New Hampshire, I still feel like when you cross into the border of Vermont, it's almost like you enter a Disney film. Like, it's all like rolling green hills and the light is like golden. And it's just, I don't know if it's just growing up in like rocky New Hampshire that I think that,
Well, you know what, it's funny because when I not in the past couple of months, but like I would frequently go back and forth to New York, and every time I would cross the border from Massachusetts into Vermont, I would like smile because I knew there was a curve on 89 where I knew the sign was coming. And I would just like feel like I was home. And it's the same thing. And when I drive into Montpelier, I feel like, huh, I'm home. Like this is where I belong.
And it's given you the opportunity to try a lot of new sports, it seems, at least as an
Whatever
outsider
could you
watching.
be talking about? I don't even Yes, I've well the reason why I well the reason why I picked up cycling was because I was injured, and I had a meniscus tear. It was pretty bad, and I couldn't run, and I'm still not fully back to running. I happen to live across the parking lot from an outfitter, and I walked over there and said, I need a bike. I don't really want to ride a bike, but my coach said I need one. And so they hooked me up with salsa a Salsa Journeyman, which is a gravel bike, and I had never been on a gravel bike. And I was like, what is this? And then I like to try it because, you know, 50% of the roads here are gravel roads and dirt roads. So, and then I loved it. I got a bike coach and a cycling coach, and we've been working together for just under a year. And, you know, I have like cycling goals now. And it's a great way to be outside when I can't run. I actually am going to go out on a run right after this. So I'm getting back there, but I also like have added cycling and skiing to my menu of activities that I do.
Oh, it's both fun and conditioning. So
yes.
Do you think you'll do like a bike race?
Oh, I am. I'm already signed up for the Steamboat Gravel race in August. So I'm working towards that.
Whoa.
A lot of hill training in and yeah.
Well, I did have a question from a listener who asked if you are in a race. So like, I guess now, be it a cycling race or a running race, like what do you tell yourself in your head? Like when things get really hard, do you have any sayings that you turn to or mm-hmm. any, like, how do you kind of persevere through that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it really depends on what moment it is in the race. Mm-hmm. And if I, sometimes it's pretty early on. If like, if it's already really difficult, I'll have to like employ a mantra or something. And usually in running, I will say, you know, just get to the next mile, get to the next mile, see how you do.
Yeah.
Or, just do the work, Myrna, do the work. And I'd like call myself my own name, speak to myself in third person or second person, right? Myrna, that's you. Yeah. Second person. And, or I'll say, step over step, step over step. And it's just like a fancy way of saying, you know, step by step. And that's from Rikki Tikki Tembo, the Chinese folktale, where the grandpa is taking his grandson on a long journey to go save his other grandson who's stuck in a well. And so it's a pretty disturbing fairy tale, as most of them are when you really read into them. Anyway, but I really love the imagery in that book and the art in that book. And it just really reminds me every time I say that it's a long journey, but you can get there if you just take it step by step. So step over step, step over step.
I often feel that way in the White Mountains too, just because of how rocky it is and how tall the steps are. So I'll keep that in mind the next time that I'm struggling through something like that.
East Coast granite.
It's real.
It's so hard. It's so, people think that these mountains are, you know, are small. They may be smaller than other mountain ranges, like in the West, but they are definitely, I mean, switchbacks, what are those? You just go straight up the mountain on granite steps.
Have you done the Mount Washington road race?
I have not, and I probably won't. I wanna do things that challenge me, but like not that are gonna make me so crazy and get me so anxious. Like I think I'm past that part of trying to prove things to people. I wanna be out there, I wanna enjoy it. Yeah. So like, I don't think I need to do that. Will I hike Mount Washington? Absolutely. I haven't yet. And that'll hopefully be part of my, when I do the 48, 4,000 footers at some point. I don't know when I'm going to do it. Don't at me.
You could spend the rest of your life doing that.
Right. Exactly. So that's one of my plans in the, you know, in the next 2 years or so.
So tell me a little bit about Stowe Trails partnership. I know you wanted to donate your speaker fee for today there, and would love to hear a little bit more about the work that they do.
Sure. Well, I love them. And I actually, before I moved to Vermont, I would come here in the spring and in the summer for races and stuff like that. And I would always be on their trails. And then when I moved here, I was in a lot of the newspapers here. And like, so all these companies and organizations reached out to me, you know, for equity work, for, you know, speaking and stuff. And so I ended up doing a project with them. I did my anti-racism course on bikes. So we rode the Stowe Rec Path, which they are stewards of. And I did my anti-racism course, not while we were riding. So we would ride a little bit, then we'd stop And then, you know, I use a lot of the, like, the metaphors from riding a bike, you know, going over a bridge. How are you going to be a bridge to people to bring them to, you know, provide access and equity to the outdoors? And it was really, really cool. And the fact that they were so open to that, like, very new sort of type of training and workshop that really incorporated what we actually do in the outdoors, it was, you know, it kind of blew my mind that they were like, okay, yeah, here's my proposal. We'll do it. Okay. Yeah. And it was so cool to see people at work. And it was, this particular group was mostly the board members. They were such a phenomenal group of learners. And I want to make sure that they continue that work, that they're able to do that. And yeah, I just think, and I love the trails that they are working on, that they're building, that they are stewarding. And it's a really phenomenal local organization to me.
Oh, very cool. I love that idea of incorporating movement into a training that too.
Yeah. It was super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like to think that there's a kind of openness that can happen when you're outside in nature and moving in that way. So hopefully it facilitated some good conversation.
Oh, we had excellent, excellent conversations. It was so good.
Well, you said that you don't feel like, you know, you need to prove anything or prove as much, you know, maybe as you did when you were first getting started in terms of like taking on big, big challenges or just choosing the right challenges for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think about all that you've accomplished and like your recent, I don't know why I feel like it's, maybe just because I've been around for a bit and I've seen Lululemon's marketing and like kind of felt like there was a certain feel to it that that felt different than what something that maybe I like related to, but that feels like a really big, I feel like it really says something about the, at least the athletic side of like the outdoor industry. Yeah. Like how did it feel when they approached you? Like what was your, or what can you share about that?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, it's huge.
Yeah.
It is, you know, when I am walking, you know, on the streets of Montpelier, I'm like, holy crap. You know, I have this opportunity to be partnered with, you know, one of the biggest four or five athletic brands in the world. You know, as a fat woman, as a black woman, as somebody who doesn't win things, also as somebody who's injured, it's mind blowing to me that they reached out in the first place last year over the summer. And I was very hesitant to even start a conversation because of the past reputation, you know, with the past leadership and the sorts of experiences that I had heard about people having in the store and all that stuff. But, you know, my publicist and agent and I, you know, went back and forth with them and it was really quite pleasurable, you know, and I am very honest. I was thinking about myself, you know, what's in it for me? What's in it for my community? And they were just very generous and open open about the learning that they were doing. It has been really an amazing partnership where, you know, I get to test clothes. I get to, you know, wear beautiful clothing that actually fits the, you know, the, in terms of the plus size fit, you know, you have to use a different fit model. And so not all companies do that. Sometimes they just like, they do the opposite of shrinking it and pinking it. You know, you just make things bigger and it's not proportional to the plus size body. Although it's not a monolith, you do have to fit differently. And so there's been so much thought that goes into that. And the conversations that we're having on equity and inclusion, I'm on that team too. And so it's been a really, well, all encompassing relationship, which I appreciate. It's not just about the clothes. It's not just about saying, hey, buy Lululemon. And so, yeah, it's pretty huge. And the whole campaign that went live 2 weeks ago, I got to go to Hawaii to shoot it. So
it looks like so beautiful.
not complaining. And it was, you know, again, like it was that experience, you know, where nobody asked me to hide my, you know, my bumps and my lumps. They asked me like, would you mind taking your shirt off or a bra shot? I'm like, oh, I gave birth in front of 20 people. sure. And, you know, and that ended up being the thing that that was like the focal point of that campaign, and my back in a bra and with all the rolls, with all the roles. And at first I was like, I was a little shocked. I was like, oh my God, does my back look that like that? Yes, my back looks like that. It's fine. That's how I look. That's how I look in clothes. And, you know, that in itself is revolutionary. Maybe there was some color correction or whatever, but that's, you know, that is the shape of my back. And so I think that's really, really important for people to see. We have this sort of aspirational notion of, you know, what people think bodies should look like. And then we have real bodies. And there are a whole spectrum of what real bodies look like. Right. And so, you know, some of those aspirational bodies are real bodies, but, you know, very often they're touched up, they're thinned out, they're this, they're that. You know, I'm not saying that thin people aren't real bodies. I'm not saying that. So don't add me on that either. Because I know how people are. Anyway. Yeah. But yeah, so like, it's been really cool. And I can't wait to see what else they have up their sleeves. And, you know, and it's just an opportunity for me to role model the fact that, you know, you can be an athlete in the body that you have. You don't have to change it. If you want to change it, go ahead and change it. But like, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to be a certain size to start running or to start walking or to do the sport that is for your body or whatever. So, you know, to have that platform is really incredible.
Mm-hmm. And I saw that you posted, I think it was maybe on Facebook, about your family going into the city to see the store display, and you know, you probably full size up there. You're not there, but they're seeing you in the shop window. And you said that everything you do is for them. And that's just, I don't know. It's so beautiful. It brought tears to my eyes just seeing that on Facebook.
It is like, yeah, my brother, when he went there the first time, he did a whole series of videos. And he did this long video where he was like, I'm walking on Fifth Avenue. I am, you know, I'm looking at this building that's, you know, it's a building with a lot of glass and windows. And you know, I turn around and I see my sister, and he's like, and you can hear his voice catch. And and I was like, you know, even before he finished the video, I'm like crying and sobbing. And my sister, and I'm so proud of her. We're so proud of her. And, you know, look at her, you know, this is a store like that's for sports and fitness, and she's in the window. And it was just so cute. And then he goes in and talks to the people, and then they DM me and say, hey, your brother came in and he was so proud of you. And we just want you to know that we're your family too. And, you know, again, tears, bawling, and it's just, you know, it's been so cool. And then they went on a family field trip again, and some family friends to go and see it. And then my mom was like so proud and so excited about that. She's like, it's expensive. It was like an expensive field trip, but I'm like, Mom, I got you. You don't have to buy anything. I got you. To see me, you know, I'm from Brooklyn, you know, I'm the fat black girl from Brooklyn up on a window on Fifth Avenue in a, like a luxury athletic brand store was really cool for her. And so like, I do everything for them because they do everything for me, you know? So it's a symbiotic relationship.
Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I did want to just quickly ask you about if you have anything you could share about the podcast that you're working on.
Oh, yeah. So lots of folks have been hounding me about starting a podcast. And I actually started this process of just thinking about it and ideating over a year ago. I'm finally recording episodes called The Murnivator Show. Surprise, surprise. Nice. and it is... I am interviewing people, mostly women of color, although that won't be everyone. But it is a show that is focused on my core values and like seeing where my core values, which are joy, adventure, community, inclusion, and learning, see where I align with other people and their stories and their trajectories. And that's not a great elevator pitch, so I'm working on that. So that's what it is. Yeah, and I've gotten some really cool people interviewed so far, and I got a sponsor.
Like, nice.
It was really, really cool. I was just gonna do it as a passion project. because I like to talk. And so, so yeah, so we'll see how it goes. You know, the first season is almost completely recorded and, nice. And I'll be launching in the next, 2 weeks or so. So stay
awesome.
Tuned.
Oh, in 2 weeks. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very exciting. If you ever want to nerd out about podcasting with me, I'm here for you.
Well, aren't we going hiking in a couple of weeks together?
We are going hiking, yes. So we can talk about yes. We can talk about podcasting.
I'm going to ask you all the questions and pick your brain for free.
Perfect. Well, I guess if you have time for one, just another minute Yay. For one last quick question. And I guess this is like a bigger question, but what's a lesson that you learned from the last year that you're carrying with you into, I know we're well into 2021, mm-hmm, but, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. we're still within the pandemic.
It's still
2020.
Okay. All right. Let's not kid ourselves here. Get rid of the noise, get rid of the stuff that does not serve you and that is not for you. I'm still working on that. But I think, you know, we have seen with our own eyes that life is short. And the sooner we get rid of the crap that surrounds us, the crap that's in our heads, mm. right? And in our mindsets, the better off we'll be.
Mm. All right, I'll pick your brain about that on our hike because I need help there.
I mean, got it. Fair exchange.
Thanks for being here and listening, and thanks to Myrna for taking the time. You can learn more about her work at themyrnavator.com and her Instagram at themyrnavator. Keep an eye out for a new podcast, The Myrnavator Show, launching soon. I'll list all of those and more in the show notes. Thanks to our sponsor, UST. Learn more at ustgear.com. We'll be back on Wednesday with an all-new episode. Until then, stay curious.